Well, this is the last Sunday of the year, and it's time for some reflection and direction. I always like to put this picture up to ask if you ever had this experience growing up when your parents might have measured your growth from year to year. For many of us, that was a really neat thing as we see the dates and the names. But I want to ask this question. In 2023, how much did you grow spiritually? Most of us are done growing vertically, but how much did you grow spiritually? Because we never stop growing spiritually unless we decide to. And as a part of our reflection, I want to remind you about some of the things. If you've been participating in the life of the church family and in listening and in growing through our study of the Word, some of the things that we have learned this year. The beginning of the year, we started off with this series about the Holy Spirit. We're comfortable talking about God the Father. We're kind of comfortable talking about Jesus the Son, because many of us have fathers and many of us have sons. But sometimes the Holy Spirit ends up being the forgotten God. And so we talked in this sermon series about who the Holy Spirit is and about the gift that God gives us of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit empowers us to live the life that God wants us to live. In many churches, you don't hear a whole lot of talk about the Holy Spirit, or you hear way too much. And so we tried to share a balanced approach of how we can live in the power of the Spirit and experience God's presence in our life each day. And then in the run-up to Easter, we focused on Jesus in this series called The Case for Christ. Much of this series was focused on the life of Lee Strobel, who was an investigative journalist for the Chicago Tribune and also an avowed atheist. And something strange happened. His wife came to faith in Christ, and he was bound and determined to shut her down. And he decided to use his investigative journalism skills to disprove the resurrection, and he found he couldn't do it. And in the end, he became not only a Christ follower, but a prolific writer of apologetics resources that encouraged many people in their faith in Jesus. After Resurrection Sunday, we spent some time learning a little bit more about the teachings of Jesus.
It's all about you, Jesus, and all this is for you. Glory and your fame, it's not about me, as if you should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender to your ways.
On the upside down way of Jesus, we learned about some of the things that he taught that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. If you want to be great, you got to be a servant. And if you want to live, you have to die to yourself. And so we learn some of the primary things that Jesus taught that don't seem obvious at first, but when you listen to his teaching and understand what he says, he asks us to live in a way that is so counterculture to the way of this world, it looks upside down. And then during the summer months, we looked at more of Jesus' teaching in this way.
Will you not listen? Why won't you listen? God has spoken love to us. Why will you not listen? Is not he who formed the ear worth the time it takes to hear? Listen as he speaks through living parables that must be heard. Parables that must be heard.
One of the most amazing styles of teaching that Jesus had was he told parables or stories. And he told these parables in such a way as to help us learn more about who God is and more about the kingdom that he was bringing among us. Not everybody understood the parables, and oftentimes Jesus would have to explain them even to his followers. But through this series, we learned that it's important to hear what Jesus says and to understand what he says. Then in the fall, we took a little bit of a different look at a sermon series that was about people who are hurting. It was called Acts of God.
What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, all your mercies in disguise?
In this series, we looked at the life of a young man named Joseph, and we talked about how he had many ups and downs in his life, and times when he was experiencing the joy in his life and the blessings from the Lord, and other times when it seems like God's blessing was removed. But Joseph learned that God was with him, even in the darkest valley. And in the same way, God will be with us too, even in our darkest times. And that's why sometimes his blessings come through raindrops. Then in our run-up to Thanksgiving, we talked about another important subject, the subject of idolatry. We learn that idolatry isn't just an issue, but the Bible says that idolatry is the issue. And we learn that anything that comes between us and our relationship with God can become an idol. And we learned how important it is to put first things first in our relationship with God. And then, of course, during our Christmas series, we worshiped His Majesty in a manger.
Christ the King, His Majesty is
series, we looked at, even though it's difficult for us to comprehend, somehow God's Word tells us clearly that Jesus was fully divine. Everything that made God, God was present in Jesus, and yet He was wrapped in human flesh. He was a real person. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He got tired. And we learned that He was miraculously born in order to be the Savior of the world. So as we reflect back on 2023, we've taken quite a journey through some important subjects in God's Word to help us grow in our faith. And now as the page is turning and we look to 2024, I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you can find that on page 960. Paul was writing to the young preacher who he left to preach to the people at the church at Ephesus, and he's written two letters, and this is his second one. He writes back and he shares these important words. "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." This is the apostle's instruction again to this young minister as he's teaching and preaching to the people in the flock at Ephesus. And he tells him to continue to teach the things that he heard that were confirmed by the reliable witnesses, but he's to teach them to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. And as we've reflected on all of the things that we've learned this last year, I want you to understand, I kind of see Timothy's mission is my mission too. The reason that we teach and preach from God's Word every weekend is because we want to learn these things, not just to have the head knowledge, but we need to learn these things so that we can pass them on to others. And even though you've asked me to be your preacher here, I view you as those trustworthy people who are going to be equipped and empowered through the power of the Holy Spirit living in your lives to pass these things on to other people. Paul goes on to say, if we look down in verse 15, some more important encouragement for Timothy. He says, "Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth." This is again why we have Bible studies, why we have messages that are designed to help equip you to be approved unto God and being ready to be able to share these things with other people that God puts in your life. There's a lot of times when churches say, well, we just need to bring a preacher in who can be the one to tell other people. But the way the church is supposed to work is we're all supposed to be a part of that process, because truth is, you're going to have contact with people in your family, your friends, the circle of influence that I will never get to meet or speak to. So this is why we offer all kinds of opportunities for you to grow. One of the things that's been amazing since after the pandemic, we kind of reignited our adult Bible fellowship. And we've been studying in a brand new way to many of us, where we're reading one chapter together during the week. And we do our best to read it as often as we can, every day if possible, but several times a week. And instead of coming to a classroom where you listen to what the teacher has been studying all week, all of us have been studying all week in a way that I like to call cooperative learning. And we're able to share with each other what the Holy Spirit is teaching us as we read and study God's Word. And because we know we're going to talk about it, we read it and we come prepared to discuss it in a different way than just checking the box, well, I read that chapter. Some of the growth that we've seen in our adult Bible fellowship has been phenomenal. And I'm so glad for those of you that are participating. And if you've been hearing about it and haven't made the choice to join us, maybe you can do that in this new year, and you can grow in this way as well. If you would like to join us this week, our reading will be in Matthew chapter 16. We started the Gospel of Matthew in the fall so that we can end in chapter 28 on Resurrection Sunday, when the resurrection story is told. So we want to invite you, if you've not been to Adult Bible Fellowship, consider doing that this year and step up your growth. We've had some new people come to our church family this year, and some of you have been asking me, how can I become part of the church family? And I want to let you know that coming up here in January, we're going to have what we call our iChurch Workshop. It's a seminar that's about how to get connected to my church. It tells a little bit about our church history, how we fit into the overall body of Christ, but it also tells how you can get plugged in and more involved here. The iChurch Workshop will take place on January 21st. We're going to provide lunch for you. And if you have never been to the iChurch Workshop, I want to invite you to come so that you can see about the next steps towards partnership in the church family. Another thing that we offer to help people grow in their walk with the Lord is what we call discipleship training. Discipleship training is a series of 10 sessions that we do in a very small group, but it's a way to understand that Jesus didn't just call us to be church members. He didn't call us to be church attenders. He called us to be his disciples. And he called his disciples to be disciples who learn to make more disciples. Now, if you've gone to church any length of time, you've probably been told you should tell your friends, you should spread the gospel. But the unfortunate truth is that many of our churches will put that burden on people. Most churches don't equip their people with how to do that. Discipleship training is how to do that. It's very relational, and like I said, it can start with one person who shares with another person. But keeping in mind what we read in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, we are to share these truths with trustworthy people who will then be able to share them with others. And the idea of discipleship training is when we get through these 10 sessions, you're able to take that same information and share it with others. Many people in our church family have been through the training, but not all. And if you would like to step up your discipleship and participate in this, I'd love to have that opportunity to talk with you. We've got men who are equipped to do this. We've got women who are equipped to do this. And the idea is we'd like everybody to receive this training so you know how to take what God's Word says and share it with somebody else. Another thing we will continue to do this next year is our partnership with the Hamersville Community Action Team, or HCAT for short. We will continue to do mobile food pantries, and sometimes we have more than 150 cars that come through our parking lot and take food distribution. It's really great. Coming up in February, we're going to do another Hawksworth Blood Drive that's hosted here at the church. In the last time that we did this, last year in December, there were people that I've never seen walk through the doors of our church that came in to give blood in the fellowship hall. And so if you would like to come that day to give blood or just to welcome and meet people from our community that are coming into the church, that would be a great way to, again, interact with people in our community. We haven't discussed it yet, but I'm sure that our community action team is going to once again want to do the children's Christmas celebration, which we did here in our building because the village administration building is too small. What an awesome way to serve families in our community by doing some kind of a Christmas program. And many of you came to help, and some of you dressed up really Christmassy too. It was really great. So watch for these as well as other opportunities in the new year that we can reach out to people in our community. I still have these signs up. I put these up, I think, the second year I was here, but you still will see these around. Each one, bring one. And if you've never heard me talk about it, let me take a moment to do that. Again, many of us know that we should be sharing our faith and inviting people to a relationship to Jesus, but sometimes when we read the Great Commission, go and preach to all the world, we feel it's overwhelming. But I want to challenge you as we come into this new year, maybe you can't win the world to Christ in 2024. But what if your prayer was, God, I may not be able to bring everybody to faith in Christ, but help me bring one person. Because if each one of us is able to bring one person to faith in Christ and maybe even to the fellowship of our church, that's what helps things to grow. We have a lot of opportunities in this next year to grow. But I tell you what, it was about 3.5 years when you all invited me to come and preach, and I'm kind of glad Kevin's here today because he was the one that made the introduction. But I'll tell you what, in the time I've been here, I've just grown to love you all so much. And you know, God has made us into a family. Now, about 20 years ago, there was a country music artist who at one point became the highest grossing entertainer in country music. His name was Toby Keith. And he wrote about a place where he felt welcome. He wrote about a place that he loved to go and spend time. George knows what I'm talking about, don't you? What was the name of the song?
I Love This Bar.
I Love This Bar. And there's a lot of people that find solace in a place like that. But if you're like me, I don't really love the bar scene, but I tell you what, my brothers and sisters, I love this church. We got greeters, Bible teachers, got shepherds who serve as our leaders. We got high heels, we got dress shoes, but mostly sneakers and work boots. We have fellowship dinners with homemade desserts. I love my church. We got praying, we got singing, we got a worship team that's a blessing. We got clapping, hand raising, you know, it's the Lord that we're praising. With an old sound system that somehow usually works. I love my church. I love my church. It's about changing lives. You can feel the love of Jesus the moment you arrive. I found family. There's no more need to search. I love my church. We got a Savior, we got a mission. He said, it's for men you'll be fishing. We got faith, we got the Spirit. We're spreading the word, can't you hear it? And we see victory where defeat is always learned. I love my church. Yes, I do. I like to sing praises to my King. Him together, we let those praises ring. That's why I love my church. It's about changing lives. You can feel the love of Jesus the moment you arrive. If you need family, there's no more need to search. You'll love my church. You'll love my church. And see, that sense of love, that sense of belonging, that sense of meaning and purpose in life is something we have that many people out there don't. And they need it. And we can be the ones who can lead them to the truth. You know, we talked in Adult Bible Fellowship today about Jesus' encounters with people like the Jewish religious leaders who often were antagonistic to him and questioning him. And so the question came up, how do we reach people? And we talked about the story in the Old Testament about the four lepers who were beggars outside the city of Samaria. And when the angel of the Lord caused the army of the Assyrians surrounding the city in a siege to hear the sound of chariots and horses and soldiers coming, they fled. And those lepers who were begging for food and hungry and going to die, they went out to the camp and nobody was there, and they started plundering the food. And they realized, we're not doing right. The whole city of Samaria is starving and we're keeping the news all to ourselves. And so they went back to the city and told them the good news. And their attitude was this, I don't have it all in place, and I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm just a poor old hungry beggar showing you where I found food. And that can be our heart attitude here. You don't have to have your life all together, but as Jesus has saved you and the Holy Spirit is transforming you into the person that God wants you to be, you can be that person who can tell what you know. I don't know who said this. I think his name was Anonymous, and he said a lot of good things. But speaking to Christians, he said, you know, most of us are educated well beyond our level of obedience. So you don't have to wait till you're perfect, because that'll never happen. You don't have to wait till you know everything, because you never will. But if you take what you know, I'm just a hungry beggar and I found food. It's this way. That's our mission here in our community. So as we look towards 2024, I want to tell you about the new sermon series that we're going to start next Sunday. You know, God just didn't put us here just to survive. There was a period of time during the pandemic and even after the pandemic that we were in survival mode, right? And there's still a lot of churches that have never recovered. But God didn't put us here just to survive. He put us here to thrive. And so starting next Sunday, we're going to launch a new sermon series that's going to be based out of one chapter in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. And we're going to talk about God's design for us to thrive, not just inside the walls of this building, but out in our community, so we can be salt and light in the way God designed us to be. So my challenge and my question for you today is, how much are you going to grow in the new year, 2024? Have you set goals? Have you made plans? How are you going to step up your spiritual growth in your walk with Christ? I've laid out many things that you could take advantage of. But you know, all we can do here at church is offer these things. You have to be the one to decide to participate. So whether it's getting up a little earlier and joining us at Adult Bible Fellowship, whether it's coming to the iChurch seminar and learning more about how to get plugged in here at church, whether it's discipleship training and getting serious about who am I as a disciple of Jesus and how do I share my faith, or whether it's coming to learn how to thrive in our sermon series next year. The choice is yours. How much will you grow? It's all up to you. Our closing song is going to be one that we did during our God's at War series. It's a beautiful song about putting first things first. If you've ever gotten dressed with a button-down shirt, if you don't get that top button right, if you get it off kilter with one of the buttonholes, the whole rest of the shirt goes together poorly. And it's the same thing in our walk with the Lord. We need to put first things first, and our first thing needs to be our relationship with Him. So I'm going to ask you again, how are you going to grow this year? What way will you step up your spiritual walk so that at the end of the year you can say, wow, look what God's done in my life. Let's pray together. Lord God, we love you so much, and that's why we're here today. And Lord, we thank you so much for the things that we learned and the ways that we grew this year in 2023. But you put a lot of things on the plate before us in 2024. And I'd ask, Lord, that you help each one of us search in our heart and find out what can we do in this next year to up our walk with you. So by the end of the year, we can be amazed at the way that you've helped us grow, the way you've helped us love, the way you've helped us serve, the way you've helped us share. You've called us to this great mission, and you've asked us to do it together as a church family. And Father, I just pray that you'll help us continue to fall in love with Jesus and to fall in love with his church. And as we move forward together, that, Lord, you would help us to be the church, the bride of Christ that you want us to be. But it only happens when we put first things first. So help us to do that in the power of the Holy Spirit and through Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?
All the things that I've held dear, the vanities, the whispered in my ear, what would I do if they all disappear? Riches and fame and all that they could buy, I've come to find they never satisfy. What would I gain if my soul's the prize? I don't wanna love what the world loves. I don't wanna chase what the world does. I only want you. I seek your will, not my own. Surrender all my wants to you. Keep the first thing first.